Okay, it's a Thursday. We've got Alison Hayden in because we're being serious now. I can't call you Prickles. We could have a genuine right honourable in the studio, or potential right honourable gentleman. Ian Stevens is in. Afternoon, Ian.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
Very well indeed.
Good. Now, lots of things have happened since the last time you came in. Obviously, you've resigned as council leader, and now you've thrown your hat into the arena, and you could be RMP come May.
I sincerely hope that I will be the MP come May. Another 5 years of it in the wilderness, and I think the Isle of Wight won't be in such a good state even as it is now.
Okay, I mean, we got plenty of time, lots of things to ask you. We've come to, you know, lots of questions. We've got a few questions from the youngsters that are on the four-piece course here as well.
Great stuff.
They're not old enough to vote now, but they will be in 5 years. So, you know, whatever we do in the next 5 years is going to have and make a difference to them. And, you know, maybe where they put their cross in 5 years' time is important. But I'm guessing May the 7th is the most important thing at the moment. And there you are. You could be, or you're wanting to be, the first independent MP the Isle of Wight has ever had, because let's be honest, history books say Conservative, Liberal Democrats.
Absolutely, and even way, way back, Labour. So let's just say that, you know, the field's wide open, Ian, but I've looked at it, and the reason I stepped aside as opposed to resign's a not too good a word. It seems that there's a rift. There is no rift. I mean, I've got the full backing of my colleagues within the Isle of Wight Council, the independent grouping there, and the Island Independent Association have also given me their backing. So we're pretty united on all fronts with this, that we want to see a change. We want to see a positive change for the Isle of Wight. We're fed up with the political dogma and, if you like, party whips, when you're allowed to vote, when you're not allowed to vote, etc. This is an island issue going national.
Okay. Let's ask this first question. Why are you standing?
What am I standing? I'm standing as an island independent. The independent islander, born and bred islander, who understands what's going on in local government and the issues within, and also what's going on in business, as I've been involved with the Chamber of Commerce and the Federation of Small Businesses over the last 18 months to 2 years.
Why are you standing?
Why am I standing?
Yeah.
I looked at the... I looked across the piece at the candidates, and I thought that... I could be better than that. And that is what it's all about. It's actually taking a few pounds out the family's savings and actually putting my money where my mouth is. 5 years of sitting there and, if you like, falling short again is not an option for me. I'm a person that puts my money where my mouth is.
So this is your own funds. You're funding your own campaign. You're paying your own way into this.
At this time, most definitely I am. I mean, I haven't got any benefactor who's coming around the corner, and I haven't been approached as such. What I would say is that it's family funds at this moment in time, and I'm going to drive it forward as truly independent. I don't want to be dependent on any one individual or indeed any one business candidate or partnership, shall I say. It's not in my nature to be driven by that. There will be no whip with me. What I vote on in Parliament when I get there is island issues at a national level. What affects this island is near and dear to me. I've struggled and I've fought as a leader of the Isle of Wight Council to get on the national stage. I'm there with my local government hat, as you're well aware, and I'll talk about that if you wish later. But what I will say is that I'm driving forward national interests for the island, and that's what it's about. It's not political dogma. This is what the island needs. It's a case for the island. In actual fact, I've already been in touch with Greg Clark, the minister, with regard to putting forward an island deal.
Okay, look, do you want to clear something up, because people will want to ask these simple questions. First of all, if you get voted in, what happens then? Are you not a councillor? Do you have to stand aside?
No, I don't. Probably the best councillor in recent years was Steve Ross. Steve Ross was a Liberal. It was before the Lib Dems. Steve Ross stood for this island, and he stood for this island very, very well. Steve lived over at back of Wellow there. And to be quite honest, he was a good man. He was a very, very good man, and he stood for this island. I want to do the same, but I don't want to be attached to a party colour. What I want to do is go in there, and I'll let people buy my vote. They buy my vote if it's good for the island, and that's what I'm doing. And the present political climate and the makeup of the central government is such that people can, from an individual, independent platform, make a difference.
Do you know what, you mentioned Steve Ross there, and it's fascinating because he's probably, people that have lived on the Isle of Wight all their lives and are as old as I am, maybe you are as well, and definitely Alison, because she's older than both of us, would if you asked them, who was the last MP that you remember that was very popular, didn't have all these things going on and private personal things, you know, that were out there. And I know we live in different times, so how would he have coped in these times of Facebook and things like that? Would it have been different times for him? But he's the one person you look back and think, Steve Ross, and people remember him with affection.
Definitely. He had a drive and a passion for the island. Mm. A real drive and passion, and that is what we need.
Well, can I just come in there, Ian?
Of course you can.
Because Steve wasn't just about the public face of moving forward in Parliament, which he did, and he did very, very, very well. He was also a local person, and I'll tell you what, I went to Steve's barn dances and things like that with local people. That's what it was about. It was back down to your social network and your roots on the Isle of Wight, and Steve was that type of person.
Now, you are Islander, born and bred.
Absolutely.
And you've also... I'm just pointing these things out because people need to know. Who are we voting for? Who's Ian Stevens? Let's find out. Ian Stevens, ex-army?
No, not ex-army. I'm the former... Well, just up to last month, I was the president of the Royal British Legion, Isle of Wight County Branch. I took that honour on for three years. And the veterans and the forces asked me to do that. And I thought that was quite an honour. Because, quite honestly, for a non-service resident to be offered that type of facility, to actually be in touch and move around in the Royal British Legion circles, was an absolute honour. Meeting the people of this island who'd given their all.
From my point of view, as an islander, what I want our MP to do, and I don't feel that it's happened in the last few years, and I'm not, you know, I'm not going to point fingers at people, but in my lifetime as a grown-up, I've not seen someone with passion, fire in their belly, and that's going to go up to the big house in London and bang the table and say, look, we're from the Isle of Wight, we've got lots to offer, we've got fantastic things about the Isle of Wight, but unfortunately we do need some help, and we do need not handouts, we do need some kind of investment. And I haven't heard that. And that's what I want our MP to do. I don't care what colour he is. It doesn't Absolutely. Bother me whatsoever. I want somebody to go out and bang the table with a bit of passion. Are you that man?
I am indeed. I've already been up there and spoken out. I mean, the last time that I spoke out was with Chris Hopkins, the local government minister. Now, I went up there with Andrew Turner and a couple of officers from the Isle of Wight Council and stated the case. And I've asked for support for more assisted area status, enterprise zones, etc. Now, I didn't ask for £5 out the till. My opening statement to Chris Hopkins, the minister, was, I haven't come to ask for £5 out the till. I said, you haven't got £5 in the till to give us. So I'm not going to waste my time or your time with that, but what I want is support. And this island needs support. It doesn't need an open cheque to spend today and forget about tomorrow. What we need is something that we can build on. And as I've said, the last person, the last MP that was actually driving forward for this island, Steve Ross, was at the time leader of the Isle of Wight Council when he took on the his first term of office. So if you look at that, that was the continuity that he took to Parliament. That's the continuity that I'm taking to Parliament. Believe it or me, I believe I can do it. I don't. There's no ego here, but there's an ambition to get this island into the place where it needs to be.
Do you feel that, you know, the last 5 years and beyond that, where's the faults been? I mean, we don't want to finger point, but what haven't we done?
I say it's been disjointed. It hasn't been a cohesive force that it could have been. Now, if I had thought that could have come about, and we did try, as you're aware, we have been trying for 18 months to 2 years now to work with the MP and drive forward a united front. unfortunately, hasn't really come to, because of various factors, it hasn't gelled as we would have liked it to. What we're doing now is, or what I'm doing now, is offering that opportunity. Being in the Isle of Wight Council at this moment in time, being the former leader, knowing every department and every service we've got, knowing the threats to those services and those departments, knowing what's on the national stage as well through my local government association chair hat, I've actually got a good knowledge of that, good contacts within the local government association, and indeed in central government at this time. So I know what there is. I know what we need. Don't forget, only last August, the Isle of Wight Council and the Chamber of Commerce signed a memorandum of understanding. We've actually pulled business together with the Isle of Wight Council. We're signing a refreshment of the accord with the Federation of Small Businesses. That's where we're going. We, as a local authority, could not drag the Isle of Wight out of where we are at this moment in time. But together, united, we will do it.
Absolutely. I've always said that. It's too many people come across negative and too much blame here, there and everywhere, and don't actually want to roll their sleeves up and make a difference. So I think, you know, it needs somebody to unite us all, to sort of, you know, stand behind each other and back each other and do things. And I know that, you know, the council have supported Vectis Radio in the last little while. Because, you know, we're doing the four-piece thing, as you know. Yeah. We've got a couple of students in here today. And, you know, we're making a difference. And little by little, none of us are going to change the world, but we can all make a difference.
Absolutely. Ian, can I just add to that? The four-piece is a brilliant way forward for that project. We want to continue this. We want to continue with apprenticeship schemes and pre-apprenticeship schemes. We don't hear so much of what's going on, and we're not banging the drum loud enough. But we have some fantastic results there, better than the mainland with our apprenticeship scheme. And don't forget, that started on the island. It's now become a national feature, but we're still not getting the amount of funding down to support what we need to drive it. So that's a pre-apprenticeship schemes and apprenticeship schemes. And don't forget that I introduced last year in the budget the over 50s entrepreneur scheme for those people over 50 who've actually been made redundant and have no way in life except to, if you like, go on the dole. What we're trying to do is offer a new way of life, a new avenue that they can actually pick up and be mentored into actually starting their own business,
which is you know, it's what we need to do. And what with the fact that there's the redundancies looming at Gurrit, and also we hear the sad news about Planet Ice as well, 40 jobs being lost there. So, you know, I'd imagine every little thing like that is going to be needed now, and it's going to be helpful. I mean, that's right in your neck of the woods, isn't it, Planet Ice? Have you had anything to do with that?
Planet Ice. Well, I've never been to an ice hockey game, but what I'm going to say is that it's not just about the ice hockey team. It's about the young children and the families that go there and enjoy being tutored, etc., on the ice. They do a fantastic job. I've been in touch with Sport England through, as I say, knowing Sport England and knowing the chief exec up there through my LGA contacts. I've been in touch with them this morning. I'm asking them to give some advice and help on the situation.
So you've been in touch with them this morning already?
Absolutely.
Okay, I want to ask you about PFI. I want to ask you, but I just want to throw a question out there because you know, we can all
Please
talk
do.
Statistics. I don't ever remember, not in my mum's lifetime, a Labour MP on the Isle of Wight. She's 81. We put this to Stuart Blackmore a little while ago. You know, what chances there of a Labour MP? What chances there of anything other than Liberal Democrat or Conservatives? If you go back through the record books, last time out, Andrew Turner got 30,000 votes. This time out, I'm guessing he would have been hampered not just by his own party, but things that haven't been done in his personal life and so on and so forth. You know, is he good for 20,000 votes? If so, can you match that?
I want to match it. I want to surpass that because I feel I can. I, you know, born and bred Islander, standing for the island, no political allegiances whatsoever, but standing under a banner where anyone of any political aspiration could come to me and discuss things in an open and frank manner. That's what we need. We need that. We don't need... My manifesto is going to be about 5 or 6 points when it's launched. But it's not going to be 26, it's not going to be 36, and it's not going to be made up from an MP in Bootle or someone in Buckinghamshire.
You're just repeating what they're saying.
Absolutely. I'm not going to go down that route. I'm going down. My manifesto will be linked, and it will have national issues, but it will be linked to the Isle of Wight issues. That's what we want. We don't want this idea. I know that some people are talking about conflict in Syria and places like that. Well, we don't want conflict in Syria. We don't want this, that and the other. I can put a personal view on that. But what I want to do is talk about our veterans, our people that are elderly, that are struggling at this moment in time. That's what I want to speak about. I want to speak about if we carry on the way we're going, then we will lose another 15% of our social care by 2020. Now, that's a hell of a lot for a small island. You know, and if we try and move in, and you may remember, the two powers over in Portsmouth and Southampton were trying to suck us into a super council. The only thing was that they didn't really include me in the debate. And I'm not going in with people that actually took half of our assisted area status and put a bit in Portsmouth Dockyard and a bit in HMS Daedalus in Gosport when we were going for all-island status and didn't get it. So why should I trust them now? I don't think I will.
Okay, that's a fair point. You mentioned five or six policies. I know you're not launching properly until next week, but do you want to talk about any of them?
Next week's the time. I've of course I could tell you in, but I'm not going to. It's not fair. I want to do a launch that is a launch. I want to do a launch that is to a standard. I'll dress in a collar and tie and a suit. I want to do the thing on the island. I want people to respect what we've got going into Parliament and respect that. Everyone will know at a given time, and I want to do that. But when it's released, you'll be one of the first to know, obviously.
Okay, I don't want you to go into massive details in, but can you highlight what they are? Can you just say, for instance, you mentioned the elderly. Is the elderly part of it?
Yeah, elderly and social care will be a very big part.
No,
I'm not going to go into detail.
Give us a list. No, go on, no. Give us a list.
I'd love to, but as I said, our young, our elderly. And social care, and if you look at healthcare as well, you're getting the picture. But what you've got to realise is that central government have just said, we're going to put another £1 billion into health. Now that sounds good, doesn't it?
Mm.
But they're taking £1.2 billion out of social care.
Yeah, that's not quite so good, is it?
No,
not really. No. Now what we got is beds being blocked up, you know, in our hospitals.
Yeah,
and this is on the national stage. We've got beds being blocked in our hospitals. Why are they being blocked in our hospitals? Because we haven't got the social care to actually treat them and keep them out of the hospital.
So we take money out of social care, so that's just going to exacerbate the problem, full stop.
Yeah, what we've got to do is break that cycle and actually work smarter.
Okay, you're probably aware of this. Back in about 2001, I organised, with the help of Harry Rees, a march into London. First of all, we got about 23,000 signatures for independence for the Isle of Wight. Because statistically, we're lumped in with Hampshire, and we lose out that way. So, what have we lost? What have we lost in the last... Because, as I say, we didn't get anywhere with it. You know, 13, 14 years on, we didn't get... I don't think we got any support from the MPs. They didn't put their backing behind it, so we probably didn't get anywhere. We had some Labour MP, Alan Johnson, came down, paid us all a little bit of lip service and told us, you're never going to get independence, but if you ever wanted a bridge, we'll talk about it, which didn't go down too well. And then it all got forgotten about. And I'm just thinking, if we had carried on the campaign, waving the flag, hey look, we need to be lumped in statistically, not with Hampshire, we need to be, you know, by ourselves, stand alone, and people need to look at us and say, right, okay, and we are going to give you accordingly how much you need to survive here on the island, you know, is that a fair assumption? Is that a fair thing to ask, or am I singing out of my backside?
I don't think you are, Ian. I think that, you know, you've said it as it is, you're quite right, but we're a very small fish in a big pond. What we have to do is what I've tried to do with Greg Clark is to say, look, if you look at our joint strategic needs assessment, and it's there for everyone to look at, and I haven't heard any of the candidates, and this is the worrying thing about what's going on at the moment, I haven't heard one of them say a joint strategic needs assessment, which actually tells the story of the Isle of Wight and the areas of deprivation and where we should be looking. Now, I hope that after this general election and I win, that those people that are standing up at this moment in time saying they want to represent the island, and actually come along and sit with me and say, okay, let's look at the joint strategic needs assessment and see how we can lend a voice. Because don't forget, these people that are actually wanting to represent us, and I'm not knocking them, because anyone, and this is democracy, as I said on as I said on the Sunday Politics show, when they asked me if I was Turner bashing, I said no, this is about me standing because I feel I can do a better job. But what you've got to look at is that no one other than Stuart Blackmore really has actually come forward and say, and on a local basis, and sat on a parish or town council and actually come up with some ideas to actually drive forward their local communities, or even spoken to the island. They haven't spoken about the joint strategic needs assessment. They haven't looked at the areas of deprivation. They haven't looked at the areas of strength either, the areas where we excel, and perhaps they should. And hopefully by the first week in May, they'll probably be talking joint strategic needs assessment.
And that's exactly how I feel. If you want to change things, if you want to move forward, if you want to get an idea of what the island needs, you need to start at community level.
Absolutely. Ali, you're so right. It's all right having national principles and promoting various things on a national level, but know what your locality is. Mm. Know what it is. I mean, and I dare say the UKIP chap has got some wonderful ideas about local emphasis, but we don't hear too much
of
them.
You need to be in it to see it, don't you?
You
definitely.
You really, really do. You need to be available. You need to be knowing what's going on. And I'm not knocking these other people. If I thought that one of them was going to do a good job, do you think that I would actually put my money where my mouth is? No, I wouldn't. I'd be sat over there. I'd stand aside as leader, because, as you know, we took that four-year term that my predecessor, Councillor David Pugh, had, and we worked it to an annual position, and I thought that 2 years was enough to stand aside and give a new fresh impetus, which Jonathan Bacon's going to give that.
And you actually stood down to stand as our island MP.
I stood aside. That was going to happen, because I said that I was only ever going to do it for 1 year. I stretched it to two. I thought Jonathan would come in. Jonathan's of the same ilk as me. He knows the bit. He's got the bit between the seas. He knows the story. He's been there for a term before that as well. Capable guy. So I knew that I had a successor. I stood aside, and then I'd spoken about this some time ago, way, way back, family-wise, and then I decided, okay, at a meeting with the executive, I said, look, I'm going to stand. After the meeting with Chris Hopkins and a couple of other things came forward, I just couldn't see anyone else coming to give that level of representation that I feel I can. So that's why I've stood.
Well, a couple of months ago, maybe even a couple of weeks, just before you actually threw your hat into the arena, we actually were talking about who can we vote for. We don't know who we're going to vote for. And we were genuinely honest, and I know that Vic Slouthian is listening now. Mm-hmm. And I this is no criticism of her or anybody else standing, because I think she's like you. She's seen the Isle of Wight go from this to this, and she wants to make a difference. She wants to do something, so she's thrown her hat into the arena out of probably frustration and just wants to make it better. So with that, I'm just looking at it and thinking, I was thinking exactly the same thing. You know, who do we vote for? If I vote for Vix, has she got the grassroots stuff that you were talking about, you know, the local councils, the town councils, the experience of that? Because I think that's vital. Would she be out of her depth when it comes down to it? I don't know. You know, the only chance you're going to find out is if we voted her in. But I'd look at it and think, well, are we going to take a chance on somebody not knowing? Or are we going to go to someone that is, hey, has been there and done it and knows all the small print, all the fine print, and can talk us through it and can take us through it too?
There's a big thing, Ian, is that, you know, and I'm I don't know the lady and I don't know the other people, but what I would say is that I haven't seen them in the local communities coming out and talking as we have, and we've been all the way around it, including our budget sessions. And that would have been Stuart came along to our budget session over in Ventnor, Stuart Blackmore, but I don't think any of the others did. You know, whether it was Lib Dem, Green Party, UKIP, or what have you, no one came along to question the budget or even ask any questions.
I needed as a parish councillor to know what was going on for my community.
Ali, exactly. A lot of town and parish councillors came out, but I didn't see, and perhaps I'm wrong, and they'll probably tell me if I am wrong, that they didn't come out and even question the Isle of Wight Council executive.
Okay, I've got a question for you from a young man here. He's 13 years old, so he won't be voting this time around, but maybe next time. So ask your question, Josh.
Okay. If you could change some things about the Isle of Wight, what would it be?
If I could change things about the Isle of Wight, do you mean physical or can I just say
people.
That people? Yeah, I'd actually want them to have not just the opportunity, but the jobs, the employment. And if you could say that everyone had employment, and if everyone had apprenticeships when they needed apprenticeships, and worked, if you like, with local universities to actually get some university placements. And even, as I said, I've been in touch with Portsmouth and Southampton to try and link in some foundation courses on the Isle of Wight so that we can actually work with our local universities. So I think that education, pulling that up and really driving that forward so that everyone's going to get a good education, and job opportunity is a biggie, Josh.
What's your next question, Josh?
If you had the chance to build a drama school, would you?
Yes. Most definitely. If we had
expected that,
no, I wasn't.
He wants to be an actor.
Josh, can I just say, Josh, Platform One does a fantastic job. I don't know if anyone have you been there, Ali? Because go and have a visit. They do a fantastic job with our musical talent, and I feel sure that quite possibly there could be an opportunity for them to, if you like, expand into drama. And I think that could be a way forward.
Do you know what the nice thing about it is? That Platform One used to be in this here studio 17, 18 years ago, which is great. You got one final question there, Josh. Go on, shout it out nice and loud.
Okay. If you could change one thing about the schools, what would it be?
It's a very good one, but what I'd say is the one thing I would love to see them is actually raise their game right up through and give good education to all. And that's going to be a tricky job. We're on the way there now, but we need, if you like, we need to make sure that the Isle of Wight Council, indeed, our education establishment, and the minister needs to actually get a grip and, if you like, put some more money and some more thought into education.
We are going in the right direction with the education, aren't we? Because obviously, go back a couple of years, every blimmin' week it was this report was bad, that report was bad, but we seem to be going in the right direction.
I think the good thing about it, Ian, is that Councillor Richard Priest took it on with Hampshire. And don't forget, 2 weeks after I was made the leader of the Isle of Wight Council, I had to sign over the workings, if you like, in bringing in a director for social care and education to this island, and to get support. We were in virtual special measures. And working together with the professionals on the island and indeed our Hampshire colleagues, they've actually turned it round. I think that what we did was a mammoth job in going from a three-tier to a two-tier system and not supporting the schools out in the district to actually assist them in getting from a three-tier to a two-tier. I think they were sort of there, put out there on their own and left to survive or submerge. And I think the sad thing was that they went between the two. And it's not down to the educationists at all. It was down to the way that it was brought about.
Just going back to that, where we are now governed by Hampshire for our schools, did you, as council leader, have much of a say in that, Ian?
Absolutely not. No, we didn't. We knew. Timpson, the minister, sent me a letter. I've got a copy of the letter. And to be quite honest, he actually said, you will make that over. And that was it. But it's to the good, because quite honestly, we're not here to gamble with our children's futures. We're here to make it a positive contribution, and that's what we've done, I think, as independents. And I think that Jonathan Bacon's taken that on to another level.
Do you know, I'm going to say this because I don't want anybody else to tell you what I said. I said this a couple of weeks ago. I think potentially Jonathan Bacon has got something about him that could make him the most popular council leader that we've had in years. And that's not a dig at you, because you had to go in and be strong and tough and kick a few people, I know, to go from one, so you've basically paved the way. But I think he's, what he's got about him is just something that is sorry, this is going to sound horrible for you, likeable. But if you hadn't have done what you did, go in there and just clean the board, totally clean. If you hadn't have done that, he wouldn't have got his opportunity. So I think it's, you know, it's always about looking at the future, isn't it? So I hope you haven't taken that the wrong way.
I've taken it the right way.
Good.
Because, as I said to you, I was only going to be the leader for 1 year.
Yeah, I remember you saying.
And then suddenly I had to go, well, I went for two. And the reason I went for two was there was still a little bit of, brutal work to be done.
Sure.
And it had to be done. And now we've actually set our stall out, and we're moving now. We've bottomed out. We're moving now in a more positive direction. A leader with not the baggage that I was carrying was the way forward. But it proves a point, Ian, that if there's a harsh truth to be said, if there's a job to be done, then I'm up for it.
Yeah, no, that's also a good point to make as well. Vix Louthian's been in touch, OK? She could phone if you wanted to, Vix. I know you listen at home. 240666 is the number, but she says, I'm surprised at how diverse... Oh, sorry, hang on, not diverse, put my glasses on. At how divisive and critical you are in your interview. You seem to only value people who are heavily involved in local politics. No surprise, as that is what he is, but local politics is only part of island life.
Only part of island life, Vix. It's a hell of a lot more than only part. What you've got to realise is that the decisions made within County Hall and the decisions made through the Minister in central government that impact on, if you like, our Isle of Wight Council, unfortunately impact everyone in the island, everyone from education to our young and our social care for our young to our elderly, and also if you look at the other situation with regard to employment. We've got to say that, you know, there's a lot of things that impact on island life, and you've got your opinion on what I say, and I've certainly got mine, and I'm coming from someone who's been in local government since 2001, worked with the MPs, worked with, if you like, cross-authority members and officers. So I do have a little bit of knowledge on that, and I welcome your fresh viewpoint.
It'd be interesting to know, because obviously there's six people standing, only one out of those six, the other five, have not been an MP, but you have been leader of the council. I don't think the others that I mentioned, Stuart Backmore, yes, he's a town councillor, you mentioned that, but none of the others seem to have what I would, and many others too, experience, but at the same time, in some people's eyes, that might be a fresh look, because, you know, you've got someone that's not really swayed by politics. How important is it to have some kind of experience when you go? Because this is a big job. You're going to have to stand up in front of X amount of MPs. They've all been voted in. They're probably all experienced. The majority are. They've done it all before. So I would imagine if you don't have the experience, I'm not going to put words in your head, but in your mouth. But if you don't have the experience, you may come unstuck.
It's not a question. I think that, you know, Vix and anyone else can stand up in the House of Commons and say what they want, and they say it from their heart. And that is not the point. The big point is that, do we want to hit the ground running? Do we want people who know what departments want? Do we want to know what the situation is with regard to central government directives down to local government, which impact on island life? Do we want to know what the Isle of Wight Council and the island business community are saying to central government and actually present that? I've got that already. Or do we want to wait for 18 months to 2 years before, quite possibly, someone gets a hang of what we're doing and goes and starts to build these bridges? Have we got candidates out there that actually have been to the Chamber of Commerce, met with the Federation of Small Businesses, actually spoken to the TUC? I don't know, but I have. Have they been up to the local government association offices? There's 373 different authorities in there, and they all present through the committees that I'm on. They present to the ministers. Now but I'm just trying to point that out. If I thought that any one of those candidates had the experience, had the grounding to actually go in there, hit the ground running, and do the job for the Isle of Wight, I wouldn't have even bothered to have crossed the road to put my hand up and say, I'll run. I'm there to be kicked. Of course I am. Former leader of the Isle of Wight Council, and as you quite rightly pointed out, I resigned. I don't think I did. from my point of view, I stepped aside. I stepped aside to be that was part of the way forward for the independence. We were forward looking and looking at succession planning, which we did. Now, I've put my hand up. No one asked me to. I did it. And what I'm going to say is, yeah, I'm there to be kicked. Because I'm a former leader of the Isle of Wight Council. We've got a tough budget coming around the corner in a minute. Everyone's going to berate us, no doubt about that, or quite a few people will. But I want to ask them, what are their alternatives? Because nothing's coming over the horizon from anyone at this moment in time.
Okay, Vix has been in touch again.
Good.
Another question. A fresh approach is needed, not one who is so tied in with County Hall and surrounding themselves with other local politicians for the last decade and a half.
Oh, Vix. No, I admired your straight talking there, and I really do. But to me, you've got to look at what's on offer, and what's on offer is a fresh start. A fresh start means to rebuild. You've got to rebuild from the bottom. You'll be there for 3 years before you ever get to the first layer of brickwork.
Does our Island MP, and I mean, we all know about the problems that Andrew Turner had when David Pugh was leader of the council. Surely our Island MP needs that association with County Hall and the councillors in County Hall to be able to do the best for the island. That's the way I see it. Is that wrong?
I'll leave it to one side just slightly there. I'm going to be a bit politic here, and I'm going to leave that. I'll let you judge for yourself whether there was that cohesive feel to Andrew and the Isle of Wight Council, and if there was, would I have still stood? What I'm going to say is that I'm offering the Isle of Wight a cohesive looking way forward, a cohesive way forward, let's say, with the MP and the Isle of Wight Council and business and the trade unions to try and work together to get us out of the mess we're in. And we've got to do that, and we've got to do it from a position of strength. If this was a new beginning and a new dawn and everyone else in the country was doing the same, then I would say Vix might have an argument, or might have some credibility in that argument. I don't think she has. I feel that what we've got to do is hit the ground running. We need to make sure that we have that cohesive unit of Isle of Wight Council, business, and indeed the MP. And I think that I bring that to the table.
All right, we'll take a break now, Ian. So we're just going to quickly build a drama studio in the space of a quick commercial break, and then we'll come back. We've got some questions coming your way from Ali. Jay's been in touch as well, Peaceful Life. He's got some questions, and also Casey's got a couple of questions as well. So we will come back. If you want to join us on Facebook, you can. If you join us on my page, just have a little look. Ian Mac, there's something going on there. We're asking the question about is Ian Stevens the man to be our MP?
Yes.
At the next election. So if you care to comment, then feel free and we'll read it out if we get time. It's 16 minutes to one now. We'll be back.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre. Our packages are great value, and we constantly check our prices to ensure we remain competitive against other providers. Call for a chat on 01983 240 240. The George Inn Newport, perfect for a family meal or a drink with friends. With home-cooked food, you'll find a home from home in the heart of Newport, 92 St James Street. Call 01983 522 557.
Last orders!
Having a problem with your phones? Need your sound system sorted out? Call West White Audio for expert, friendly advice. Whatever your problem, just ask Kelvin on 0800 118 2484, email info@westwhiteaudio.co.uk, or follow the link on the Vectis Radio homepage.
So how's it going on your traineeship? It's with CLC, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. I've been there 3 months now and I love it.
But you aren't getting paid, are you?
No, but I do have free bus travel and I've just got £100 for reaching my halfway target.
Really? That's cool. Is the job hard?
No, everyone there's so cool. They treat me like the rest of the team and not like some snotty kid.
Sounds great. The training at CLC is only one day a week, isn't it? So I guess it's not too much hassle then.
Yeah, our training advisor is a great laugh and really helpful. We have touchscreen laptops too. And I finally passed my maths. Never thought I'd be able to do that.
Maybe I should give them a call. Could they help me get into hair and beauty?
Sure. CLC can find a traineeship in almost anything. And when you finish, you get an iPad mini. Why don't you call them now? It's 01983 533 993.
As the nation's leading first aid charity, we at St John Ambulance believe nobody should die because they needed first aid and didn't get it. Yet only one in five of you would know what to do in the event of an emergency. So why not be the difference in your local community by volunteering with the St John Ambulance units at either Ryde or Newport? You'll learn life-saving skills which could be the difference between life and death.
Rock and roll is here to stay. How true is that? With Wham Bam a Lama. Your two-hour tonic of sounds from the first generation of teenagers to the retro rollers of today. It's all there waiting for your ears to relive those rock and roll years. Join the old boy for some 78s and 45s RPM every Friday on Wham Bam a Lama. Only on yours truly, Vectis Radio.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre, providers of the fastest fibre optic broadband on the island. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
All right, it's the Thursday Lunchtime Social debate. With me is Ali Hayden, and we've also got prospective parliamentary candidate, who could be a right honourable gentleman very soon. It's Ian Stevens, who is going to be standing as an independent. We've got a point to make and a question maybe from Jay. It says, there's little point in highlighting and relying on experience of local or indeed national politics as an asset. It isn't because we're now at a point in time where the rules and protocols in nearly every aspect of our systems needs completely torn up and rewritten. They have not served us well, which is why we're at the point that we're at. Make no mistake, massive creativity is required across all boards. What would you say to that?
I'd say that sounds revolutionary. And it's all right for the Isle of Wight to go ahead and lead it. But as you quite rightly pointed out earlier, you went with 20,000 signatures to get independence for the Isle of Wight. It didn't happen. Now, if we're going to rip up the rule book, start again, then if the Isle of Wight does it on its own, then we're going to be catching cold here, because those people over the other side of the Solent are doing fairly well with the Minister for Portsmouth and their twin city deal that they've got for Portsmouth and Southampton, with millions of pounds going into those cities. And we're supposed to, when I spoke to the minister, he said, oh, you're supposed to be getting some of that, and we haven't got a bean yet from it, but we will. If we don't, then I'm after the island deal, as I said. But we can't afford to rip the rule book up. What we can do is, if we're going to do a peasant's revolt and with Wat Tyler and a pitchfork march on London, then let's make sure we've got a few others that are going to go there with us.
Okay, we got some questions coming in from Casey. What's your question, Casey?
Do you have any plans to create more jobs on the island?
Absolutely. What we're doing, as I've mentioned earlier, is the over 50s. We've put forward £50,000 as a start for entrepreneur schemes. What we want to do is also, and what I will be doing, is going to central government to ask for more money for the apprenticeship schemes. And don't forget that the apprenticeship scheme started on the Isle of Wight. And what we want to try and do then is to actually get more funding for entrepreneur schemes and opening up business. The other thing is that I'm after enterprise zones for the Medina estuary. And that's what we need, because enterprise zones means inward investment, which means more jobs.
What's your next question, Casey? Nice big voice.
Could you, if elected as MP, set up a youth group for youngsters on the island to be given a voice through you?
I'd love it. I think that, you know, what we've got to do is we've already got the youth council, but what we want to do is extend it even further. I think we should be doing that, and I think our youth provision on the Isle of Wight could actually work with the schools to produce that. And I think that would be a way forward.
And you've got one more final question there. Nice big voice. Get yourself up nice and close to that microphone.
If you had the chance, would you boost the Isle of Wight College to university status?
What I would do is talk with Portsmouth University, as I have, to try and get them to link in. And they are at the moment with Southampton. And I want them to link in with Portsmouth to actually provide foundation courses that people can sit in the Isle of Wight College but take the courses for university on the Isle of Wight, linking in with the day release scheme to Portsmouth University or Southampton University or Solent even.
Now we've got about seven or eight minutes, Ian, and we haven't touched on the PFI or the you called it the LEP. I ain't got a clue what the LEP is. Tell us about it.
The LEP, that's the Local Enterprise Partnership. That includes Portsmouth, Southampton, Hampshire, and the Isle of Wight, and indeed the district and borough council, shall we say, of Havant and Fareham and others. And that is where the funding from central government goes. It doesn't come straight to the Isle of Wight Council. It goes into the central pot at the LEP. Now, that's where we have to bid for funding. Now, as I've said to you in the past, we've got to look at the situation. What is going into Portsmouth? What is going into Southampton? And make sure that we get our share. But that's where I've fallen out with people in the LEP, because quite honestly we are not getting our share. And with assisted area status, we went for the whole island, and in fact Portsmouth and Gosport got a bit of our assisted area status, and we missed out from Ventnor through to Freshwater, and that's a shame, because we need it badly. Don't forget that Portsmouth and Southampton, with their city deals, managed to gain more funding and more opportunities for inward investment. We didn't touch on that.
Why did we miss out then, Ian?
Why?
Yeah.
Because when it comes to the votes within the LEP, etc., there's a majority of focus and a majority of votes that go in a certain direction. I'm all for sub-regions. I'm all for devolution. The devolution question that came north of the border has actually been pushed out to the provinces now. But we need to be there. We need to make sure that we're getting our fair share of it.
Fancy a quick call?
Yeah.
OK, let's take one. Hi, who's this?
Hello, Ian. It's Jay. How you doing?
Jay.
I'm just you always phone about 3 minutes to go. Whatever it is, be quick.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to clarify that... Hello, Ian Stevens, by the way, and good luck with your campaign, my friend.
Thank you very much indeed.
Hey, welcome. I just wanted to clarify the points I was making about wasn't necessarily, peasants' revolt, revolutionary style. Mm-hmm. What I'm alluding to, Ian, is the changes that are happening in society across the board. So that's things to address, like energy, agricultural systems, monetary systems, all things like that. All of these things need changed, and included within that... the political system, because the political systems are the things that we've used as a tool to manifest all of the other systems that we've got. So, I mean, it translates to when we say we'd like to see jobs on the island, or anywhere for that matter, how are we going to do that? So that, you know, we need to be specific with how we're going to have to do it with less energy, we're going to have to do it more intelligently, more environmentally. And I don't mean that in some sort of trademark fashion. I mean that literally, you know. So we need far more passive systems, lower entropy all round. So I'm really deadly serious when I say that we need massive creativity right across the board. And I'm not demeaning the attachment to local politics and knowing the ins and outs of the political system. What I'm saying is they obviously haven't served us well up until this point. So we need to radically change them.
You've got 60 seconds to answer this, Ian. Right.
Okay, Jay, I think that what we need to do is put the political system on hold, continue to work with what we've got and try and, if you like, change that on a gradual basis. But what we can do is look at what this island's about, which is sustainability. If you're an island, you've got to be self-sufficient. And you're quite right with the way that that could actually engender new job opportunity and, if you like, a sustainable Isle of Wight with more opportunity and more financial investment, inward investment to the island. And I think that's our way forward. If we can actually become world beaters in sustainability and, if you like, regenerate the employment through that, then that would be brilliant.
I just think this is a thing, you see, Ian, I agree with you.
I tell you what, we're going to have to cut it there, Jay, all right? But we're going to get Ian back in at another time, and maybe you can phone up a little bit earlier.
Yeah, just one point. You can't sustain the unsustainable, which is the systems we're running at the minute. Okay, cheers.
Thank you. Cool. Now, you've got just a few moments now to tell us the big question. We've saved it till last. The big question is, why should we vote for you?
I thought we were going for PFI. Why should you vote for me?
We ain't got time for PFI as well.
We'll get it when I come back.
Absolutely.
What I'm going to say is that I'm the local voice. It's all about supporting our community, but it's actually raising the local voice to the national level. And that's what we need to do, both for business, which is going to drive us out of the recession that we've got here, and also give, if you like, life and hope where there's just aspiration and dream at the moment to our young people and to those people who are unemployed. We've got to get out of this, and the only way we're going to do it is through driving business. And that's what I'm about. Why vote for me? I understand the situation. I know, in a nutshell, what needs to be done. And don't forget, I won't be party to any whip or told to keep quiet when I shouldn't keep quiet, etc., etc. I never have done in my life, and I'm not going to start now.
I can vouch for that. All right, and basically you're going to come back soon because you haven't actually launched it yet. I mean, just starting after everyone else, is that going to hamper you, or is it going to be better for you?
It's the only reason I've started is because I can't see anyone else coming forward that is going to be a better bet or better prospect than myself. And that's no ego. That is just fact. That is just a fact. I feel that I've got the best chance of putting the Isle of Wight case forward in a strong and positive manner up in Westminster and indeed throughout local government. Because don't forget, as I say, I'm still chairman of a national board up there. So I have my say through with the ministers of today as I will with the ministers of tomorrow.
Just before you go, we touch on the PFI. Ian McKee is in the news today, the UKIP parliamentary candidate for the Isle of Wight. He suggested a comprehensive investigation into the Island's Roads PFI contract. What would you say to that?
We're already doing it. I mean, this, you know, Ian, you should have come along to our meetings, and quite honestly, you'd have saved yourself a lot of bother and the press a lot of bother too. We're already doing it. Councillor Phil Jordan's taking that on board. We've got Councillor Ivor Warlow supporting him. So we've got two councillors looking into that. What we need to do is beef up the PFI contracts management a section of the Isle of Wight Council, and we're doing that.
Where are you launching, Ian? It's next week, isn't it?
Yeah, Ryde, my hometown, where I can walk down the streets with no fear. you can come along to my headquarters.
Okay, where's your headquarters then? I ain't got a clue where
it's number, I think it's number 30 Cross Street. It's on the corner of George Street and George Street and Cross Street.
Okay.
Right opposite Richwood's and Missy J's.
Okay, and your place is just around the corner?
And my place is right on the corner. You won't miss it, I can assure you. You won't miss it.
Okay. Thanks,
please,
Ian.
Come along, 4:30.
Ian Stevens, independent parliamentary candidate. Thank you for coming in. We'll hopefully see you in the next couple of weeks as well. But good luck with the launch. And indeed, good luck with the campaign. Thank you, Prickles.
Thank you.
Thank you, baby Prickles.
Thank you.
And also, thank you, Josh.
Thanks.